Leadership requires inspiration. What inspires you determines who you are as a leader. What inspires you? I'd like you to take note of that. What inspires you? For instance, should we begin to ask that what inspired Idi Amin? Was he not a leader? So something inspired him. So what inspires you determines who you are as a leader. And you've seen, you can cite some terrible leaders who ever lived in their time. They were inspired. So if we begin also to look into the biblical foundation of a correct leadership, you need to understand that the Bible is a correct source of inspiration by which we can be healthy as leaders. And do you know that we have so many people who are leaders, so many leaders who understand the scriptures, but they don't submit to the Bible to inspire them to be the leader that the Lord wants them to be. Before I move forward, let me submit that in any capacity that you have been called to lead, there are instructions in the scriptures for correct inspiration to be a healthy leader. Do you agree with me? Yeah. So what's the practical approach in that? After now, when you study the Bible, don't study alone as a believer. Study also with the perspective of a leader. What is God instructing me about in how to be the kind of a leader that He has called me to be? So now, I will now deal with what we have as a focus tonight. So you now look at, He said, scriptures is useful. That's what the Living Bible says. It's useful to teach. Now, when I began to look into this, I discovered that it's useful to teach. You can stop there. But I discovered that if it is useful to teach, there are leaders, there are people who use the Bible to teach, but they don't allow the Bible to teach them. So as a leader, who is going to have, I'm talking about right attitude now today. We must understand that the Bible is a source of inspiration and is useful to teach, but it must be useful to teach us. So we must be a student of leadership Bible. And I'm not talking about just a leadership Bible written out, something like, you know, what some of our leadership experts have written. I'm talking about seeing the Bible as a leadership manual by which I approach it as a leadership student, even though I am a leader. So I'm going there to get an inspiration, and I'm going there to be taught by the Bible on how I can grow as a leader. And do you know that immediately we begin to put this into practice, it will begin to change a lot of things about our way of leading. Do you agree with me? Now, he said, it can make us to realize what is wrong in our lives. And I will now begin to build on that. When a leader does not realize what is wrong in his life, then he won't be able to realize how to correct what is wrong in other people's lives. I'd like you to know that for the fact that a leader is a leader, he can realize what is wrong in people's lives. But if he has not realized what is wrong in his own life, he will continue to see what is wrong in other people's lives, but he won't be able to change it. You know why? He has not been able to allow the Bible, the word, what inspires him to really change him as a leader. So, he now said, he straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. Verse 17. So, it is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. May I start by saying the foundation of success, regardless of your calling, is attitude. Please take note. The foundation of success, regardless of your calling, regardless of your profession, regardless of your craft, regardless of what you do, if you are a pepper seller, the only foundation for success there is your attitude. So attitude is something we need to study so much and to believe God for in our time as leaders. I want you to take note of this. We are not in shortage of skillful leaders. We are in shortage of leaders with character. Do you take note of that? We are not. How many of us believe that we have people who are skilled everywhere? We are not in shortage of leaders who lack skills, who lack the know-how, who lack strategy. As a matter of fact, they may have vision and wonderful vision. But no matter how skilled a person is in an organization, once the attitude is lacking, then there is a problem. And if there's anything that we must begin to labor on in Nigeria and in our various sphere of influence, is to go back to the leadership attitude, the attitude of those that are being raised as leaders over people. As a matter of fact, to me, I discovered that where attitude is lacking, there is no leader. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, when you check the New Living Translation, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, I want you to see there the peril of wrong attitude. The peril of wrong attitude. It was God who spoke to Cain. God said, you will be accepted if you do what is right. And I'd like you to take note. Attitude is about doing what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. So what is attitude? Attitude is simply a mindset. Please take note. Lived and expressed through actions. Attitude is simply a mindset that you live and express through actions. So there are keywords I'd like you to take note there. Number one, attitude shows the state of your mind. Attitude shows the state of your mind. If the state of your mind is right, your attitude will be right. If the state of your mind is wrong, your attitude will be wrong. An attitude is like a deodorant that you wear. It either makes you smell good or bad. Attitude everywhere you see a leader, one of the things in leadership development that we must not rule out is the development of a right attitude in those who are going to begin to lead. Attitude is like a deodorant, a very, very effective one. You may not be able to cover it because it's a state of your mind. Consciously and unconsciously, you have to leave it out. Many a times, even when you want to struggle and say, I'm not going to be like this, because your mind controls your actions. So when your mind is wrong, you have a state of a mind that is wrong, people begin to look at your actions, but they don't know the problem is not your action. The problem is your mind. There was a time I got a story. I wrote that story in one of the books that the Lord helped me to write, about a mouse who went to a magician and said he wants to become a cat. That the cat, they always threaten him. So the magician said, okay, you want to become a cat? Then he did his magic and he became a cat. And the mouse, don't forget, it was mouse that became a cat. So he left. Suddenly, he began to see a tiger. So he ran back to the magician and said, oh, make me a tiger, make me a tiger. Say, I'm afraid, make me a tiger. I don't want to be a cat again. He said, ah, why? He said, the tiger is always threatening him. So the magician said, okay, become a tiger. And suddenly he became a tiger. So when he became a tiger, he got to the bush after some time, he returned and came back to the man and said, just make me an hunter. Ah. So the magician said, why do you want to become? And he said, I'm always afraid that the hunter is going to get me down and kill me. And suddenly the magician got angry and said, I can't help you. The problem is that I have changed you from a mouse to a cat, from a cat to a tiger. Now you want to be a hunter. The problem is not what you are outside. The problem is who you are inside. You have the heart of a mouse. So return back to a mouse. So even if I make you a hunter, you're still going to be afraid of something else. So your life is about the state of your heart. So he began to talk there, and that is it. So I like us to understand that attitude is the substance of individual's form. Who you are, your formation, your attitude is the substance. It's what determines your formation. So very quickly, we need to look at what are the importance of attitude. Number one, it determines how you look at life and ministry. Do you know some people believe that ministry and life is a place of getting? It's just a place. One of the reasons we have people who get into the place of leadership today is because God has not really prevailed over their attitude. So the way they look at life is a place where you need to pull others down to rise. The way they look at ministry is a place where you just need, except you get what you need to get, you can't be somebody in life. It's about attitude. Some people get into a position of leadership and they feel they have come here to serve. What is the difference? Attitude of the mind. So, attitude determines your outlook about life and your calling. Whatever the Lord has called you to do, whatever you have been assigned to do, the way you are going to see it is going to be determined by the state of your mind. The way you are going to see it is going to be determined by the state of your mind.
take note number two. Attitude influences who you are and what you do. It influences who you are and what you do. You can't be good in your roles. I want you to take note of this. You can't be good in your roles without a good attitude. No matter what you do, please take note. You can't be good. You can't be effective. You can't be what God wants you to be without a right attitude. And this is very key. Number three, attitude determines your altitude. How far you will go in life and in ministry is determined by your attitude. Recently now we went for a retreat, and my provost was saying that when you are anointed and you are not disciplined, you are a casualty that is waiting to happen. When you are anointed and you are not disciplined, that means you don't have a right attitude. You don't have a godly attitude. You just discover that the person can begin to rise. It will get to a place that the person will get to what we call a crash point. I call it, in a particular book God allowed me to write, LCP, leadership crash point. If you don't work on your attitude, if you don't allow God to work on your attitude, if you don't allow God to change your attitude, to transform your attitude, you will get to a place we call LCP, leadership crash point. Because a wrong attitude cannot travel so far. A wrong attitude cannot travel so far. So it determines your altitude. And one of the things I believe so much that makes us not to see the issue of attitude as a matter before God as leaders is because we are not futuristic. We are so short-sighted. We don't think about the future of who we are and what we do. A moment we begin to think about future and think about the next 10 years, the next 20 years, think about even when you are no longer there, will what you are building for God, will it be sustained? Do you know a lot of things that some people have built have crashed immediately they die because they had no attitude when they were there? It determines your attitude. So what are the right attitude you must have in life and ministry? There is just one attitude, but there are 9 components in them. Before I begin to round off, one attitude. And if there is anything that you must continue to advocate for in Make the Leader platform, it is this one attitude. You don't need to demonstrate and be without earrings, be without and look, you know, in an organization to demonstrate this attitude. It must be demonstrated by your life. You don't need to carry big Bible in your office and have a round collar so that everybody already know to demonstrate that attitude. It's your life. Many a times, do you know that in our various places, in marketplace ministry places, in church-based ministry places, at times, the only thing that God is just looking for is your life. When your life demonstrates the attitude that I'm discussing now, then your leadership is healthy. So what is that one attitude? It is the attitude of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Every other attitude
that is outside Christ does not have a solid foundation. It is shaky. It is unreliable. The only attitude that has never been faulted is a Christ attitude. And if there is a movement, if there is a shout, if there is a cry that we must begin to sound aloud in our time, is that God is looking for politicians who are like Christ in their attitude. God is looking for CEOs who are like Christ in their attitude. God is looking for proprietors, looking for educationists, looking for people, pastors who are like Christ in their attitude. Our goal should be that the attitude of Christ is what we want to have. As a matter of fact, every time we should check ourselves, each time as a leader, where God has planted us, whether you are relating with people as a team, because attitude affects people at the top, affect people below you, affect people at pass with you. If you have a faulty attitude, if you have a wrong attitude, you can't operate well with those who are above you. You can't operate well with those who are below you. And you can't operate well with those who are your team members. So it's a very serious problem. To say, let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Hope you are getting me now. So what are the 9 components of today's training in the attitude of Christ that made him a healthy leader, that made him to approach life and ministry in such a way that it was effective for God, in such a way that they could not bring him down? 9 of them, and we're looking at them very quickly. Number 1 is called a servant attitude. Matthew chapter 20, verse 24 to 28. A servant attitude. A servant attitude. Anywhere we get to, anywhere we go, a servant attitude helps us to lose a sense of right to claim anything where we are. Let me take it again. When you have a servant attitude, you lose your right. And if there is a leadership problem, which I like you to consider in our time today, is that we have leaders who believe they want to hold to their right. In this country today, and with some of us are here, because God is developing us as elder leaders, if you are called to lead or you are called to engage in a work and you know that you are not going to really be paid the way you ought to be paid, will you still put in the same effort you will put in when you are not, when you are going to be paid in a very high manner? I just want us to take note. Do you know that it is very, very, there's a thin line. We don't usually discover whether people are servant. It's a common thing, a normal thing. I'm your humble servant leader. I'm your humble. It is beyond what you tell us. You are our humble servant leader because of so much that you are getting in your pocket. If they say there is no official account, will you still our humble servant leader? If they tell you that, see, your salary is still going to be like the minimum wage that other people are collecting, will you still be our humble servant leader? We want to see a humble servant leader when your right is not greater than those you are leading. That's what God wants to bring out of the leadership in our time. Let us lose the sense of right.
Let us not run a business because of what we are looking for. Let us go there because we want to serve with our lives. That's it. That's what a servant attitude is all about. A moment you are asking what is in need for me, you have ceased to be a servant leader. What is in need for me? What is in need for me? One of the mentalities, one of the mindset that must be eradicated by God in the leadership landscape of this nation is what is in need for me. People are coming to ministry today, they are still asking, what is in need for me? If nothing is no longer in ministry, will you come in? And that is a kind of, that's a kind of leaders God wants to raise in Make the Leader platform. That whatever right that is going to come, let it be God that is giving to you. Don't claim it. There is nothing that we have devoted our lives to do for the Lord that there is no reward awaiting us over there. God is not unrighteous to forget the labor of our love. It is not a matter of where you have done it. Let it not be in the church. Let it be in your organization. If they don't pay you, are we getting it? He's free, but he made himself a servant. We are satisfied. We feel so honored, so safe within us. No inferiority complex to be a servant. Even when they made us, when they make us to be at the top, to be there and to have all the goodies, why can't we make ourselves a servant to all? And who is a servant to all? Is the one that is seeking the interests of others before his own. Sir, you may not have a title in that organization, but you are a leader in that organization if you seek the goal, the interest of that organization, what God has called you to do there, before you think about yours. That's what it means to say. Philippians chapter 2 verse 7. Another picture of a servant leader. Philippians 2 7. Jesus made himself of no reputation. If you are going to be a servant leader, don't be title driven. Don't be title driven. There is no way you can be a servant leader and love titles. And if there is any problem in our generation today, it's because we love titles so much. Title does not determine who you are. Your attitude determines who you are. Please take note. Write that down. Title does not define me. My attitude defines me. If you have a title of a senior pastor and you have a attitude of a prostitute, then what is the use of the title of being a senior pastor? You have a title of a senior pastor and you have an attitude of a thief. So what's the correlation, sir? So, title does not define me. And may I say, at this very point, let us learn how not to draw draw our self-esteem from title again. And each time you are not addressed by your title, don't feel bad if you want to be a servant leader. These are practical things we need to understand in our generation. If you want to be a servant leader, Jesus has said it. He that wants to be the greatest among you, let him be the least. And if you are saying the least is the least esteemed. So will you be comfortable when you are least esteemed, when they don't recognize you? So we should not allow what we do as leaders to come out of our titles, but out of our attitudes. He made himself. So the issue of being a servant leader is about making ourselves one. I don't know whether we understand that. You have to make yourself to be ready. Because if care is not taken, people will want to make you a lord. And they want to make you a lord to lock you up. But the best way to lead is to make yourself a opposite of what people are trying to make you. Do you remember John chapter 2? Verse 24 to 26, there about. That is the principle. Jesus, they wanted to make him. He knew the heart of man. He did not allow people to make him. He made himself a different thing. And that's why he came to die, came to do all that. Number two attitude is a farmer's attitude. A farmer's attitude. Because of time, I won't dwell so much. What is a farmer's attitude? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, it is called hard-working attitude. Attitude that is committed to hard work. Do you know hard work is also an attitude? Also, a farmer's attitude is attitude of patience and perseverance. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Patience and perseverance. A farmer knows how to be patient and persevere while he's doing his work. Another attitude of a farmer is seed time and harvest attitude. Seed time. A farmer understands that life is about getting out what you put in. You must know that you need to sow. And it is what you sow. Don't be deceived that you are going to reap. Those that are destroying our nations today, don't bother. Our prayer is that they will repent. Because if leaders sow evil seed and they don't repent, they reap evil harvest. Another attitude of a farmer is sense of timing. A sense of timing attitude. Attitude to do the right thing at the right time. In any place we have been called to lead, there is a need for us to understand that there is a right time for us to do the right thing. There is time for everything. Number three. Another attitude component of Jesus is a learner's attitude. A learner attitude. A learner's attitude. A learner. The attitude of a learner. To succeed in life and ministry, you must remain a perpetual learner. Leaders are all repentant learners. But may I say, learning is also relative.
Who are you learning
from?
So leaders are
all repentant learners. They depend on the Lord for knowledge. They learn from those who have done it well ahead of them. They also learn from those who have done it wrongly ahead of them so that they will not repeat the same error. How do you
show a learner's attitude. Please take note of this. Enter every environment as a learner. Enter every environment as a learner. Anywhere you go, God wants to teach you something. Enter every environment. I say, no matter how much we do, every environment we enter, we should enter there as a learner. Matthew 11, to yoke upon you and learn of me. Learning is hard, please take note, but it's profitable. Learning is hard. Part of an aspect of learning is listening. There are people who are leaders. They don't have learner's attitude because they don't have listening ability. They don't listen to corrections. They just feel they know it all. A learner's attitude is a listening attitude. We must learn to take a posture of listening more than we talk. Do you know, as a leader, that is going to be able to be effective if you want to be making wise decisions over a team of people you lead? Don't always make a conclusion until you have heard from them all. A learner will listen to everything. We hear from this one, hear from this one. He will even ask them, are you done with all that you want to say? And why this one is talking is getting from this one. Why this one is talking is getting from this one. But do you know there are some leaders, when two people just finish talking, they quickly make their decisions. They don't have a learning attitude. So learning is hard, but it's profitable. Philippians 4:9, the things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, Paul said, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. So learn to learn from your disciples, from your mentors, from those that you are seeing God helping. Learn from them. Learn from those who are below you. Learn from those who are doing wrong. Take a posture of learning. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. The number 4, a maximizer attitude. A maximizer attitude. What is a maximizer attitude? Maybe I will round off with one more and I will close because of time. It's John chapter 10 and verse 10. A maximizer attitude is an attitude that amplifies. Is an attitude that wants to increase more than you have received. This is what the Lord has handed to your hand. This is what you have received from Him. A maximizer wants to make full profit, full use of that particular thing. It's a mindset that focuses on bringing out the full potential of someone or something. The best leaders that God will reward well are leaders who always long to bring out the best in others. They always long to bring out the best in whatever the Lord has committed to their hands. A maximizer attitude creates space for growth. John chapter 14 verse 1. It creates space for growth. In the environment of a maximizer, can grow. They will not grow. It allows them to express themselves. God does not want us to be leaders that other people come under us and they lose the vitality of what He has planted in them. People under us, people around us, they must develop. We must find a way by which we see that they are getting fulfilled with their lives. That's a maximizer. A maximizer increases what is at hand. Like I said, it's a booster. It boosts. Then, number five, I think we can now stop with this. A business-minded attitude. 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 8. A business-minded attitude. So because the king's business required haste. The business-minded attitude is a no-time-wasting attitude. A business-minded attitude is the attitude that says, oh, God has given me this opportunity. And he's going to ask me at the end of the day with what I have done with it. Am I wasting time? Am I doing what he has called me to do? Am I prompt in what he has committed to my hands? Or am I just wasting time? So that's a business mind attitude. And I want to say this, make it your goal to live a business-minded attitude. Make it your goal. Luke chapter 2 verse 49. Luke 2 49. Jesus said to his mother, not is it that I must not be about my father's business? He was mindful. Whatever you can take up as a business, then you cannot. He says, seest thou a man that is diligent in his own business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before mean men. Every assignment God has given to us, every talent God has given to us, every gift God has given to us, every opportunity God has given to us, we must develop a business mind to get the best out of it. If you look at, I'm rounding off now, you look at what happened to the one that Jesus gave one talent to. The problem is that he did not have a business-minded attitude. He buried what God gave to him. He wasted it. He trivialized it. And that is how some are taking leadership in our time. A business-minded. Jesus was business-minded about divine assignment. We also have to be so. And the Lord will help us. So what are the five things that I've shared with us before we take? Yes, sir. The other four, one. Okay, for the sake of, all right. Number six is a childlike attitude. A childlike attitude. Mark chapter 10 verse 13 to 16. Mark 10, 13 to 16. A childlike attitude says, self-sufficiency must be replaced with recognizing a need for help. Self-sufficiency. Any leader that is going to be approved by the Lord, a right attitude to leadership, to life and ministry, must not be approached with self-sufficiency, but must be replaced with recognizing a need. Self-defense must be replaced with humility. Self-defense must be replaced with humility. That's a childlike attitude. Then self-direction must be replaced with submission to God's guidance. Self-direction. A child will always want you to know that he needs your guidance. That's a childlike attitude. Forgiving others and offenses. Number seven is a lover's attitude. Mark 10, 21. A lover's attitude. If you have a lover's attitude like Christ, you will love those things that he loves. Those that Christ loves, you will love them. You will protect what he loves. And you will value what he loves. You will protect what he loves. And you will value what he loves. Number eight is investor attitude. What is an investor attitude? Don't be a spender, but be an investor. invest your life in what is of eternal value. Build an enduring legacy anywhere you are as a leader. That's a attitude of Jesus. He built a legacy that up till now we have not been able to recover from. Invest your life in such a way that in years to come, heaven will continue to praise God on behalf of your labor. Number 9, which is the last one, it is called a traveler's attitude. A traveler's attitude. Hebrews 11:13. Do you know what is called a traveler's attitude when God shared that with me in leadership? Let me quickly say this because I'm considering you. A friend of mine, very close, came to me one day and saw me in the office and saw me the way I was sitting and said, "Are you not the owner of this chair? Is this not your office? Why are you sitting on the edge of the chair?" I said, "That is how a leader needs to be sitting every day. Sit on the edge because you can't always be here. Have an attitude that you are passing through this place. You are a traveler. It will not allow you to feel too relaxed. Get to make mistakes. You'll be sensitive. You will know somebody else is going to come and take this chair. You don't feel too relaxed. You just know I'm passing through." 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11. 1 Peter 2 11 says, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lust which war against the soul." Do you know the reason many leaders are always disappointed where they serve or what they pioneer? They don't know that they are just travelers. One day, you may not be there again. When you have that attitude, every day you want to put in your best because you don't know the day that is going to be the last day. Thank you so much for taking your time to listen. I pray that the Lord will make every one of us healthy leaders. In Jesus' name.